Right now, we will talk to all y'all out there. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. I ask before you call, and I welcome all calls, I simply ask that you take a deep breath. Remember that this is just one game. The Blue Jays are still over 500, still on pace for 88 wins this season, and this is the first time all year that they've gone into the ninth inning trailing by more than one. You're not going to go all season long without getting blown out, and the Blue Jays got blown out tonight. Tampa Bay beats them 12-2. Your phone calls are next. It's the Blue Jays talk on the Honda Post Game Show on the Blue Jays Radio Network.
The AL East has never been so competitive. Every game matters. Toronto Blue Jays baseball on the Blue Jays Radio Network.
Very aptly put there by Jerry Howarth. Turn out the lights. That was when it all ended. Luke Scott's grand slam was just icing on the cake. 12-2, the final score. The Tampa Bay Rays beat the Blue Jays. The first time that the Jays have been blown out this year. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays talk at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. What can you say? Not a good game. Not a good game at all. The bright light for the Blue Jays. Couple of hits by Colby Rasmus off of David Price. Four hits for Yunel Escobar to tie a career high. And Jose Bautista reached base three times. But it just didn't happen. They didn't get the job done with runners in scoring position as they have for most of the season to this point. Bautista singled in Yunel Escobar in the first inning. And at that point, the Blue Jays were 1-for-1 with runners in scoring position. From that point on, they were 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position. So 1-for-6 for the day. And then it got out of hand in the ninth inning. A hit batsman, an error on a double play ball, and then it just kind of spiraled out of control. Bases loaded, walk to Carlos Pena, and it just got ugly in a hurry. Brandon Morrow was not good tonight. Gave up 6 runs on 8 hits over 6 innings. Did a reasonable job through the first 5 innings of at least minimizing damage, but did not have his good stuff. But for Brandon Morrow, his first poor start in his last 6. And again, the Blue Jays remain over 500. They are a half game out of first place in the American League East, even though they got thumped pretty badly tonight by these Tampa Bay Rays. 416-870-0590, star 590 if you're on the cellular telephone, and long distance is 1-888-666-0590. You can also reach me on the Twitter at Wilnerness590. But I got to tell you, I don't keep as close an eye on Twitter during the Blue Jays talk. Let's get to the phones. We're going to start with Chris in Toronto. You're on the Blue Jays talk, calling, listening to our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's doing, Chris? Hello, Chris.
Hey, Mike. Can you hear
there
me?
There he is. All right.
Thanks for having me in the Honda Post Game Show. I have a quick comment, question, and opinion for you, if you got a moment.
All three of those things? Hit me.
They'll be good, guaranteed. First off, the comment. I'm sure if you asked Eric Thames or Kelly Johnson, they think that the home plate umpire, Paul Huer, probably had a 10:30 dinner reservation.
You know what I think it was?
And
this got a lot of play last year, and this may have been the reason that Jose Molina got drilled leading off the ninth inning. Jose Molina is the best framer of pitches in Major League Baseball. This has been proven by PitchFX. Scientifically, he gets more calls than anybody else because of the way he receives a pitch. And I think it's fair to say he stole at least a dozen strikes today. And you know what?
Agree.
That may have had a lot to do with it.
I think he was putting a clinic on out there. I really noticed. Maybe it's because it was against the home team, but it seemed like he was sliding everything into the zone with that hand.
And I can't believe the umpires don't recognize that.
I think it's because he's kind of wide, too. He makes the plate seem a little bit... I think he frames it that way, too. That's just another part of that. My question for you, though, Mike, is it's about the fashion going on with all these young kids. With the one sleeve going on, and you think Erasmus, Desmond Jennings, Sean Rodriguez. My question is this. Is it just pure fashion, or are they trying to keep their throwing arm warm?
They're compression sleeves. It's not a fashion statement. It's not like they've... Well, for the most part, at least with Rasmus and with a few of the Blue Jays, I don't know about the visiting teams, but I assume it's the same thing. They're compression sleeves. They're actually there's a practical use for them, rather than just the fashion of one sleeve. So I don't know if it's about staying warm or if it's about, you know, what exactly it's about. But I do know that they do wear them for practical usage.
Great, thank you. And just a quick opinion on my part. I think for the fifth starter spot, I know they haven't decided yet. I think Luis Perez should get the shot. He's done a great job so far.
He's not stretched out.
He went 4 innings, and he definitely wanted to go 5 on opening day.
But that was on opening day.
And
you know, since then, I think today was his longest outing, 2 innings.
Yeah, you can't do that as a side session, though, Mike.
You can't give a guy a start in a big league game if you can't expect him to go at least 5. And especially when you're in a run like the Blue Jays are in now with 20 days without a day off. If he was spot, they'd have been stretching him out and they'd have had him throw long sides and that kind of thing. It's not to say he can't do it. And it's not to say, you know, in a vacuum that he may not have a future as a starting pitcher. They were kind of hoping that he would, and they still believe he might, but he's not going to get that start on Saturday. He's just not stretched out enough.
All right. Thanks for your thoughts, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Chris. And it looks like Joel Carreño is not going to get that start either. He threw 62 pitches today, which I guess could be considered a side day. And he might still be able to go on 2 days rest on Saturday. But he got lit up. 5 runs on 8 hits in 3 innings, though he didn't walk anybody. So I think he just pitched himself out of consideration for that fifth starter spot. The Blue Jays are going to need a fifth starter on April 21st. That's this Saturday night against the Royals. For the first time since April 8th, the third game of the season. And we don't know who it will be, but we do believe it's going to be either Drew Hutchison or Jesse Chavez. Jason is in Toronto and listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to ask you about an article I read yesterday in The Star by Richard Griffin. He just takes the Rays and the Jays, does a rundown of every position player plus the rotation and bullpen, and sort of gives an edge to a team or another. I found it interesting because I remembered you actually doing the same thing last year on your show. A caller was kind of throwing names at you, and you went around the diamond. And sort of more often than not, yourself and Griff gave the edge to the Jays, which I found interesting. And I'm kind of wondering... you know, assuming that you guys are right, that the Jays are better more often than not, why do you think it is that the Rays have had more success and will likely have more success this year?
Why will they likely have more success this year?
Okay, well, just based on
past performance does not guarantee future results.
So this year aside, last year then.
Okay. Well, last year I think the Rays were probably better than the Blue Jays. And in the starting rotation, no question they were better than the Blue Jays. And Ricky Romero was probably the only Blue Jays starter last year who could have fit in Tampa Bay's rotation. Maybe Henderson Alvarez, but he only made 10 starts. I believe things are different this year. You know, JoJo Reyes isn't getting 20 starts this year. Kyle Drabek is a different guy, and he's got another year under his belt and seems like he's ready to do some damage. I'll take Henderson Alvarez this year over most guys. And Brandon Morrow, tonight aside, you know, it's another year of experience and a guy who looks like he's getting set to fulfill that potential that we all think of is his. But last year, I think the major difference was that the Tampa starting pitching was much, much, much better than the Blue Jays starting pitching. This year it's not. I mean, I'm sure the argument will still be made that it's better. And I think that until the Blue Jays starters prove themselves, you have to give that to the Rays. Their starting pitching is better. But the Blue Jays... go ahead.
Sorry, I'd agree that their rotation's sort of been their strength, but it's funny when you look back, you know, through the years in the draft where they were picking up these guys, like Helixson tonight, right? Helixson tomorrow night. He was drafted in same year as Romero, 05, in the fourth round. We took a guy named Ryan Patterson 2 picks ahead of him.
Well, you can't look at that stuff.
Really?
I mean, it's so inexact, and so many players that get drafted wind up being nothing. And so many guys who are taken late wind up being something.
But your argument, whenever people talk about the Rays over the past several years, has always been they're good. They're so good because they were so bad. And that, to me, that argument means the reason they're good is they've gotten these high picks and they've made the best of them.
Yes, it's very tough to miss when you have a top 3 pick.
But their rotation, these guys aren't top picks.
But Jason, we're not getting into this. All right, I've spent 4 years doing this because I said in 2008 the Tampa Bay Rays are not going to make the playoffs. Look, here's the thing. You can't say that Tampa didn't become what they are, that sucking horribly for 10 years didn't have a large part in making this team what it is. You can point to individual players, but then you have to look, too, at how they got certain players, who they drafted, who they moved, where those trades were, who they were able to move at the deadline because they were out of it every year. And, you know what? A lot of credit to Andrew Friedman. He has put together a very good scouting and development team. It's a good group. You know, they picked Matt Moore in the 8th round. And Matt Moore has turned into the greatest thing since sliced bread. The Blue Jays took Drew Hutchison in the 15th round. And next year, Drew Hutchison might be what Matt Moore is now. The fact that the Rays were so bad for so long played a massive, massive, massive role in their ability to become a very good team. I appreciate the call. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We are going to Paul in Mississauga, also tuned in on our fine flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike, I just wanted to get your opinion on what you think of J.P. Arencibia this year as a catcher. I've seen him on the plate, and I just think he kind of bobbles around the ball sometimes. He misses those catches that I think he just should have. And I just wanted to get your opinion on what you think of J.P. Arencibia.
I think he's been phenomenal behind the plate this year. I have zero complaints about J.P. Arencibia's catching this year.
That's good. I just wanted to get your opinion on that because I just think sometimes I just find him bobbling. And I don't know, sometimes I think he could be doing a little bit better than he should be. But
I'm not sure what you're watching, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't know. If he's number one catcher, do you think he's number one?
I do.
Okay, well, I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Okay, there you go. I appreciate it. There's the strides JP has made defensively this year have been outstanding. He's dirty every game. He's blocking balls in the dirt. He's become quite a good receiver. He's not going to win a gold glove, but he's become quite a good receiver. The hitting has been abominable, and he would be the first to tell you that. But J.P. Arencibia has hit wherever he's been as a professional baseball player. So I'm not worried about the hitting. And in fact, he mentioned today to me that in 2010... when he won the MVP in AAA with Las Vegas, he was hitting 200 on May 30th. So slow starts are nothing new for J.P. Arencibia. The question is, when's he going to pull out of it? Ugly night for the Blue Jays in pretty much every facet of the game tonight. They lose 12-2 to the Tampa Bay Rays. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Wayne is in Clinton on our flagship Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome aboard, Wayne.
Thank you. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about Jesse Chavez. He sort of came at me out of the blue there. I know that the Jays have eight of their top 12 prospects are pitchers, but Chavez isn't on that list.
No, he's not.
I don't know a whole bunch about him.
Jesse Chavez is a guy who can best be described to this point in his career as a journeyman, middle reliever, somebody who is trying to hang on to a big league job. But he has had an outstanding three starts with the Las Vegas 51s, and he's put himself right on the map to fill in as his fifth starter for the start on Saturday. And I don't know if he's going to get it. I don't know if it's going to go to Drew Hutchison. It really depends on whether the Blue Jays lean towards the guy with big league experience or whether they're confident enough in giving the nod to a 21-year-old who's had six starts above A-ball. The deal on Chavez is that he's 28 years old. He has spent parts of four seasons in the major leagues with Pirates, Braves, Royals. Hasn't made a start yet in the major leagues and has been mediocre at best. And I think mediocre is probably generous assessment of how Jesse Chavez has pitched in the major leagues. He's got a career ERA of 5.36 in 152 and two-thirds relief innings. He has a career whip of 1.5, which means for his career he's allowed a base runner and a half per inning, which is pretty bad. But he's got a big arm. He threw well in the spring. He has continued to throw well. And again, 28 years old, guys can turn a corner. He's not going to win a Cy Young Award, but can he be a serviceable fifth starter for a month and a half in the major leagues? It's certainly possible. I don't know if he's going to be the one to get the call, but they seem so far to be quite impressed with what he's done.
Well, I hope they're right.
Well, we'll see. And we'll see on Friday night. We're likely to find out maybe after the game tomorrow, but probably likely or on Friday. Who's going to get that fifth start for the Blue Jays? Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate the call. But, yeah, don't expect, and I think, you know, judging from what I saw on Twitter tonight, what I heard from the fans, I think expectations need to be more realistic. Not everyone is going to pitch like a Cy Young Award winner, and not everyone's going to hit like an MVP. You have fifth starters for a reason, and you know, you're looking at now whoever gets called up to be the Blue Jays starter on Saturday night is probably their eighth starter. Because going into camp, your four were Romero, Moro, Alvarez, Cecil McGowan. Cecil and McGowan are out of that picture. So Drabek is in. Carreño was seven. He's not coming back. So this guy's going to be eight. So don't expect someone to go out and throw seven innings and give up two runs on four hits. That's probably not going to happen. Joseph is in Toronto listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Joseph.
Yeah, hi. I'm talking about the hitting, J.P. Arcibia and Kelly Johnson. J.P. Arcibia, I see that he's like pulling off Edwin Encarnacion. Because Edwin Encarnacion last year, they're very putting pressure on him to play third. And kind of a great fielder. And same thing now with J.P. Arcibia. Last year, he was also a pretty bad fielder and a good hitter. But I think because they're putting so much pressure on his fielding, his hitting is really decreasing.
No, I think he had a bad week and a half.
Uh-huh.
I really think it's as simple as that. And he may have another bad week and a half. He may not.
I mean, his bad is 0-63, I think.
Yeah, he's okay. He's had a terrible week and a half. Happens.
Right. But, you know, also Kelly Johnson, I think they should move him from second to, like, sixth and put Lowry at second. Lowry's hitting well. He's getting some base hits. Even though he has some power and he's putting some more hot spots at the end of the order. But I don't know. I think that it's more of a threat to get runs because they got 12 hits tonight. Going to get two runs. I know it's only one game, but you know, I think better for in the future in every game. He'll get like 4 or 5 runs if Batista's on or Larry's on, you know, or even Escobar.
But you know, Johnson's on base percentage is still higher than Lurie's is this year, right?
Right.
And the 4 games ago, Johnson was out hitting Lurie by probably about 100 points.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But
you can't, I mean, but you can't change up like that every 3 or 4 games.
Uh-huh.
It's riding the hot hand is a very difficult thing to do in baseball because you never know how long that hand's going to get hot, going to stay hot, and you never know when the guys who aren't going well are going to heat up because you know that generally they will. And because in the last 3 or 4 games, Brett Lurie's picked it up and Kelly Johnson's cooled down.
Right.
You know, then what happens? What happens the next time Johnson gets 2 hits and Lurie goes 0 for? Do you flip him back?
Right. I agree.
Yeah, it's tough to do.
How about Dustin McGowan? They signed him to a 3-year extension.
2-year extension.
2-year extension. So why don't they just give him a chance? Even though I know Jesse Chavez,
he's
I heard
hurt.
How good he's doing, 3 good starts, but
he's
McGowan,
hurt.
You know?
He's hurt. The job is McGowan's. Appreciate the call, Joseph. The job is McGowan's when he's healthy. Right now he's not. He's just started his throwing program again on Monday, which means that today was his second day of throwing because he's thrown every other day. He's still on flat ground. He's not going to be an option until late May at the earliest, and maybe not even then. But when he is back healthy, he'll be back here and pitching in the big leagues. Jordan is in Thornhill. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk. Jordan. Going once. Do we have Jordan? We don't have Jordan, do we? Oh, well, it was a good try. Blue Jays lose 12-2 to the Tampa Bay Rays. First time they've been blown out all year. And, in fact, first game all season that they've gone into the ninth inning trailing by more than 1 run. They fall to 6-5, and the rubber match of the series will be tomorrow. Mark in Toronto. Let's try Mark. Hello.
You got me this time.
All right, beautiful.
All righty. How are you doing tonight?
All right, thank you.
All righty, yeah. Actually, this is the second time I listened to this broadcast so far this year. And the last time I happened to check in, I was on the road again for work, and it was the last Morrow start. And I just had a quick comment about Morrow and also a little comment on Escobar. As far as Morrow goes, I remember last time on the broadcast, a caller called in and was saying you know, his opinion was Morrow seems to have capped himself at his talent level. And I know you seem to be you know, quite high in Morrow's talent, and I am as well. However, you know, I'm noticing not a cap in talent, but, you know, I'm starting to figure out a little bit more along the lines of he's still reverting into a thrower. And I just kind of wanted your opinion because I haven't heard you talk, you know, enough about it as I have listened in enough, I guess, on why you think he's progressing so quickly. Well, I mean, maybe not quickly, but progressing so well towards being less of a thrower and more of a pitcher.
You know what? I can tell you that what he told me is that you can get people to try to get you to change until you're blue in the face, until they're blue in the face, but until the point in time arrives that you yourself believe, you know what, they're right, it's time to do something about this, then that's when you do it. And he looked at what he'd done the last couple of years, and he looked at ERAs over 4.5, and that didn't make him happy. He looked at really not being able to get into the seventh inning on a regular basis because pitch counts were so high, and that didn't make him happy either. And he decided that what he needed to do was have quicker resolutions to at-bats, force more contact, use his defense more, get some ground balls. He also couldn't stand the fact that I don't think that he only induced one double play all of last year. And it was time to make a change. And that's what he did starting about mid-September last year.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic to hear. You know, you love to hear when players are willing to work on their game, and especially to that level. I hadn't realized that was, you know, how you'd arrive to that point.
And the beautiful thing about it, too, is that he you know, he took an honest look at himself and honestly decided to work on his weaknesses. Very often, you'll see players only work on what they're good at because they don't like working on what they're not good at. And they get better at the things they're good at, but their weaknesses remain their weaknesses. And It was great to hear the thought process of Moore to come around to that.
Yeah, that is fantastic, and that's real. That's true hope for the future. That's fantastic. And the other thing I wanted to comment on was Escobar putting up another 4-hit night in his career, and this is for someone to the last caller just called in, saying switch up the order. I think a commonly overlooked fact with the Jays. Especially with the other thing I've noticed on this on your session that you have here tonight, there seems to be a lot of people that are always upset with the Jays. But I think something that's overlooked is even though Escobar's average seems to be a tad bit down, it's 10 games. It's 10 games. But here's a guy who, in the last year and now moving in here, has been a terrific top of the order and solidifying the number one spot. I mean, you look at in Tampa's area, Jennings off to a bit of a slow start as well, but having that role solidified and having that that role in place all the time is such a boost to the team. And you're right when you say you can't really ride the hot hand, moving Lowry into that spot. And I agree that Kelly is another guy at the top of the order that you'd love to see there. And he certainly he's got a lot more tenure in the league, especially in that zone. And if that could turn into a powerful 1-2 in front of Bautista, who is going to turn around and who will hit 40 home runs. This team's going to be pretty fearsome when comes August. So, I hope he keeps it up, and the defense looks great over there too. So, just wanted to give Escobar a little bit of love because he never seems to get it.
All right, thank you, Mark. Appreciate it, and I'm sure Unel appreciates it as well. Good call, and maybe listen more than twice every 11 games. How about that? Blue Jays lose 12-2 to the Tampa Bay Rays. Let's listen in on what the skipper had to say. Here's a word from John Farrell.
Tonight, Brandon had powerful stuff. His normal pitch allotment, normal pitch mix. When he made a mistake out over the plate, though, he wasn't able to get away with too many mistakes. A number of first pitch fastballs that found their way back to the middle were squared up for some extra bases, particularly with the way Joyce swung the bat tonight. Offensively, I thought, you look on the board, there's two runs on 11 hits. We got some hits. We just, they were scattered throughout. Not really the ability to bunch anything together. I thought we overall took some quality pitches from Price, didn't offer or expand the zone too much. Ran his pitch count up, but when the ability to, or the need to put or string some hits together, that wasn't the case here tonight.
John, didn't seem that Brandon was going to his off-speed stuff as much, and maybe did that allow the Rays to key in on his harder stuff a bit more?
There were a number of at-bats where he didn't have a chance to get to it. First pitch swinging on some fastballs. First pitch change up to Joyce that stayed up out over the plate for a double. They fought off some good pitches, but seemingly inside a given at-bat, there was a ball that found its way to the middle, and that's when he got hurt. Overall, he was up in the zone a little bit more tonight than the first outing over in Cleveland. So, again, fly balls in this ballpark, it can be a dangerous combination.
John, so are you saying he was too predictable?
No. No. Even when he went to off-speed pitch, first pitch, it's not like he threw first pitch fastballs to every hitter he faced. When he did, they were on it. When he went to some secondary stuff, he would fall behind an account at times. And they would get a fastball at some point in the count, and when they did, it kind of found its way back to the middle of the plate a little bit.
John, that's two starts in a row where he's kind of been up in the zone a bit. Is there anything mechanically that he's doing wrong?
Well, at times he'll get a little quick over the rubber, and he'll start to leak towards the catcher rather than taking that turn and allowing things to catch up, the timing of it, allowing his arm to get up in the proper position and leverage the ball downhill. Sometimes when it appears that when he tries to get some extra velocity, that's when he ends up getting a little bit more flat in his zone rather than maintaining that downhill plane.
Here is John Farrell on Brandon Morrow. Tonight's losing pitcher gives up 6 runs on 8 hits in 6 innings of work. Didn't think, Farrell said, that Morrow pitched all that poorly. Got into some trouble with those fly balls. It got up and he gave up 3 home runs tonight, and Matt Joyce just simply killed him. We will check the scoreboard. We'll get you set for the finale as the Honda postgame continues. Blue Jays lose it 12-2. It's the Blue Jays Radio Network.
It sounds even better on a patio. This is Toronto Blue Jays Baseball, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I'm Andrew Nye with a quick update on the NHL playoff action. Anze Kopitar has the Kings up 1-0 on the Canucks late in the first period. Kyle Turris scored in overtime to give the Sens a 3-2 win over the Rangers. Series tied at 2. Penguins still alive. They hammered the Flyers 10-3. Jordan Staal with the hat trick. I'm Andrew Nye.
Spring hits, I got one thing on my mind. My sweet ride. I've been looking after her all winter. And check this out. I even got my battery support chromed. Pretty cool, eh? The battery. I only trust Batteries Expert. They know their stuff. Batteries Expert. Check them out at batteriesexpert.com. They're growing all over Ontario.
Franchises available.
Your Ontario Honda dealers want you to get out there and get into Canada's best-selling SUV, the all-new 2012 Honda CR-V. With fuel-sipping EcoAssist, rear-view camera, Bluetooth, and more. Lease a 2012 CR-V LX for only $298 per month for 48 months at 3.99% APR. $3,661 down and zero security deposit. It's made in Ontario for Ontario, from the big city to the wide open country. So get out there to your Ontario Honda dealer today. Payment includes freight and fees, taxes, extra OAC. For details, see newspaper or HondaOntario.com.
It's Canada's team.
He struck him out. Here's the pitch. Makes the catch. There she goes.
This is Toronto Blue Jays baseball on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Back here at Rogers Centre in the wake of a 12-2 pounding of the Blue Jays at the hands of the Tampa Rays. The first time this year the Jays have been blown out. In fact, the first time all year they've gone into the ninth inning trailing by more than one run. And the Tampa Rays, the only team in the American League East to win tonight. The Yankees lost 6-4 to the Minnesota Twins. 6-5, pardon me, to the Minnesota Twins. The Red Sox lost 6-3 to the Rangers. The Orioles got thumped 8-1 by the Chicago White Sox. So that means that the Blue Jays remain half a game out of first place in the AL East behind the Orioles, half a game ahead of the Yankees and now the Rays. The series concludes tomorrow night. Henderson Alvarez against Jeremy Hellickson. We are on at 7 o'clock Eastern Time for a 7:07 first pitch. Please, won't you join us? You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by Authority of Rogers. Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership with the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, Gord Brunt, Robbie Wong, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Centre.